Hey everybody, and welcome to JMC Jams. I'm pretty sure that this is episode three. If you've been following, you'll know that we've been recording and releasing things in kind of an inconsistent way. I don't know. It sort of happened due to technical issues, and one thing has come on top of another. But anyway, here we are, like reliving actually a Jams episode that we recorded a couple of weeks ago. There's me talking to Ramona Giwagis from San Jose Spotlight. And we were just fresh from the Knight Foundation annual conference in Miami. And we were talking about all things Spotlight, talking about things San Jose, media community, and things that we're planning to do together. So we're having another go at it. And we're both on Zoom, which is the first time we've done this actually for JMC Jams. But anyway, well, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Ramona, who is going to tell us a little bit about her background, right? Like, so Ramona, welcome. And what's your connection to San Jose State?
Thank you, John. Hello, it's great to be here. I'm so excited to be part of JMC Jams. Thank you for having me. So I am a proud graduate of San Jose State University and a product of the JMC program, a product of the school and the department. I actually graduated a long, long time ago. I don't want to age myself, but I graduated in 2008 and continue to stay in touch with some of my professors and have come back to campus to speak with students in the program and had many of them intern in our newsroom at San Jose Spotlight, later getting hired into full-time reporting positions. So I love the school. I am very proud to tell people that that's where I'm from, and it's really shaped who I am today and the trajectory of my career.
Yeah, and of course, San Jose State, we are at the heart of the community here in San Jose. We are really the university that kind of serves the community and works with the community and lives with the community. And a big part of that remit, I guess, is ensuring that we are telling stories about our community, right? So is that something that inspired you when you were moving into lots of into kind of establishing San Jose Spotlight?
Yeah, definitely. So my background is, I've worked as a journalist for as long as I can remember. It's always what I wanted to do. And I had an opportunity to work in many different cities, Eureka, Salinas, Merced, with the dream of being come back home to San Jose, because San Jose is my hometown. We were just talking about this earlier, John. I was born in the Middle East, so I'm an immigrant, a very proud Assyrian immigrant. English is my second language, but I grew up in San Jose since I was 3 years old. So it is home to me. And I dreamt of, working at the Mercury News, my hometown newspaper, for as long as I can remember. And I was fortunate enough to be able to do that, to come back home and work at my hometown newspaper after going to all these different cities. But unfortunately, we all know that there is a crisis in American newspapers around the country, and that is that they are owned by hedge funds, they're owned by corporate billionaires, they're owned by corporations that don't necessarily invest in local news. And at the Mercury News, it's owned by a hedge fund called Alden Global Capital. And they continue to gut the newsroom, cutting jobs, laying off amazing journalists, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists. And it was amid this, crisis that I ended up moving to Las Vegas, to Nevada, and got a job at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, the major newspaper in Nevada. And there I was inspired by another outlet called the Nevada Independent, which is a nonprofit news organization. And it was the first time I ever heard of nonprofit news. How does it work? Who's funding it? How is it independent? How is it different than the corporate-owned media? And I fell in love with the model, and my husband Josh and I decided that we're going to quit our jobs, our full-time jobs in Vegas, come back to the Bay Area, live off of savings for 6 months, which was absolutely crazy, but we did it, to launch San Jose Spotlight, because we really believed that deeply that our community deserves another voice and another source for hyperlocal journalism. People deserve to know what's going on in their kids' school, what's going on at the neighborhood commission, what's happening with the construction down the street from their house, like these hyperlocal stories that unfortunately they were not able to get anymore with all the layoffs and buyouts that were happening at the Mercury News.
And when you say hyperlocal, I mean you've got this focus on San Jose, and it's grown, hasn't it? So Spotlight is a much bigger enterprise than it was when you first started it.
It's true. So we started really with San Jose, our hometown. This was, an animal in and of itself because it's a city of 1 million residents. There's so much to cover. But as we continue doing our coverage, and we're now 6 years in, we launched in 2019. What we heard from the community again and again and again was, we want you in Santa Clara. We want you in Milpitas. Why aren't you in Sunnyvale? Couldn't you cover Cupertino? What about Palo Alto? We can't be everywhere at all times, but we did strategically grow the team. So now we are in the West Valley. We cover Cupertino, Santa Clara, Los Gatos, Campbell, and Sunnyvale. And we're looking to expand into South County with Gilroy and Morgan Hill as well. We have a partnership with Embarcadero Media that does a great job covering the peninsula and Palo Alto and Mountain View. So we run their content. So we've got a little bit of content in all the cities of Santa Clara County, but our focus is always really primarily San Jose, as there's just so much happening in our city.
Well, there is. And I mean, it's such a massive kind of geographical, well, metro area, I guess. Sometimes we think of Silicon Valley as this much bigger beast, but actually San Jose fills a lot of what is considered to be Silicon Valley, right? With Cupertino, Sunnyvale, and as you move south as well, into the wineries and all of those other different areas, into the Santa Cruz Mountains. So it's kind of a great big geography that you're covering. And you've got to do this with people, right? I mean, it's not just you and your husband, Josh.
Nope, it started out with just us and a team of freelancers and really kind of just building it as we go. We didn't have any huge six-figure investments when we started. Nobody, funded this in terms of like having a runway. It was really community support. We started with, kind of like a PBS or KQED NPR model where it was like, become a sustaining member, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you can afford. And based on that, we were able to assemble a small team. And now we're a team of about 11 total people, including five in the newsroom as reporters, two full-time editors, an audience specialist who helps with newsletters and social media, and then a director of development who does fundraising, Josh and myself. So it's grown, but really certainly we could hire more. We want more, reporters. It's not nearly enough to be able to do the work we want to do.
And that's actually where our conversation started, I don't know, a few months ago, wasn't it?
It was.
This need that you've got a need and we have a need because we have our student reporters who are hungry to contribute, beyond campus, especially once they graduate. So we came up with an idea, didn't we? Do you want to like, sort of tell us a bit more about what that idea entails?
Yes, I'm excited to tell you about this. So we came up with an idea to create a first of its kind fellowship program to give San Jose State journalism majors and students in the program an opportunity to get paid to work in a professional newsroom like San Jose Spotlight or the Mercury News. We've also talked about expanding it to KQED and NBC Bay Area for those who might be interested in broadcast or radio or traditional print like the newspaper. And the idea being giving students a hands-on sort of look at the industry, experience, a chance to be published and get clips. Get paid not to do it for free like we had to do back in the day. And then eventually, hopefully, once they graduate from the program, be able to hire them into full-time reporting positions so that they can stay here, John. Because the biggest challenge we have is our cost of living is so expensive. We all know that. It makes it almost impossible for journalists to be able to live here, work here, raise a family here, plant roots here because it is so expensive. So the more we can kind of invest in them and keep them in the community, we build that fabric, we build that historical knowledge. And we also talked about starting with high school, not just college, level, but also going back to the high school journalists and inspiring them to major in journalism and go to San Jose State. So starting that pipeline as early as high school and then following it through college and into their first professional job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that whole idea of the pipeline just grew, didn't it? Because of course, for you to have our, for you to receive the benefit of our student reporters, they need to come from somewhere. And so we need that pipeline to function. And I think it's really, really important actually to build that community fabric, like you mentioned, to kind of weave that into what we're doing. Because sure, you can come in from elsewhere to and be a very successful reporter and tell the community stories. But if you're already invested in that, because this is where you're from, I mean, that's going to sort of add, I think, another layer to 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 your storytelling, to the way that you kind of like of break news, find news, and give people a voice, right?
Absolutely. You care about the decisions that are being made at City Hall because they affect you just as much as they affect your neighbors and others. You're invested in the community yourself because you live here. You're making ends meet here. You're dealing with the quality of life here. And also boots on the ground. There's something so important about living in the community that you serve, being able to just walk down the street for a cup of coffee and see something happening on the corner and say, "What is that? What's that construction? Or what's that new project? Or I never noticed that business closed." These kinds of things that you get when you're, boots on the ground that inspire stories, that inspire you to be, part of the community that you're serving. And it's just a more authentic way of storytelling, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally. I just love the idea of, of kind of safeguarding the continuity of local news. I want to use local news tentatively because sometimes it comes with baggage, doesn't it? You think of local news as something that's not as worthy as that big national title. But I think we all occupy this ecosystem and everybody has a part to play. And it's really important to kind of to be locally focused within, like, so, a national context as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's so many great sources for national stories and regional stories. And I think the number one complaint that me and Josh, my partner, would hear a lot before we launched Spotlight, because we grew up in this community, right? We are part of the story of San Jose. What we hear from neighbors and friends and colleagues and sources was, I'm opening the B section of my Mercury News and it's not local anymore, or not as much anymore. It's not. I'm seeing stories that might be a wire story or a regional story or a story about a different city. I want to know about my city. I want to know about San Jose. So I think that's where a lot of this was born, is that, yeah, we're right, boots on the ground, and we do a lot of community listening. So it's not just us writing stories and putting it out into the world. We're also in the community by doing like civic engagement events, candidate forums, panel discussions on policy items that are coming before the government or the city council. We often bring like the mayor or council members or decision makers into the room to meet with our readers in an attempt to, spark civic engagement and be able to help people meet the decision makers. A lot of people will tell us, "I never met my council member or my mayor. I didn't know how to vote until I, got involved with you guys, or I read a San Jose Spotlight story." So a big part of it is community listening and helping spark civic engagement.
Yeah, I totally love that. It's so important to kind of to have an informed public about the issues which are going to be impacting on you and on your kids' futures and what have you. And I think it's so nice really to have entered this conversation because I feel that we're going to be doing a really good service that's of, beyond just your newsroom, my students. It goes beyond that totally. And it's kind of less of filling something that is very much needed within. Certainly within our area, and this is kind of replicated everywhere else as well. It's not just a San Jose issue. News, the death of local news or news deserts, call it what you will, it's kind of a nationwide or even a global problem.
It really is. And we're seeing a lot of nonprofit newsrooms like San Jose Spotlight starting up by journalists, right? In these communities where they become news deserts because the paper of record is dealing with the layoffs and the buyouts and all the things we talked about. It's the fastest growing sector in journalism. There's over 400 nonprofit newsrooms around the country today, and that number is expected to double in the next few years. And we're truly independent. We're not beholden to powerful advertisers or shareholders or politically connected bosses, right? We really are able to tell the stories the community cares about because we're loyal to them. They're the ones that we really turn to and that we do the service for, the public service journalism.
Yeah, which is great. And of course, we don't just dream up this idea. We've been lots of approaching organizations like the Knight Foundation to see if they will support this endeavor. And those conversations are still going on, but we're hopeful, aren't we?
We're hopeful the time has come for Knight Foundation and others to invest in San Jose. It deserves it. We're a thriving community, so we're pushing as hard as we can through Press Forward, through Knight Foundation, through other partners to make something happen and bring some substantial money into the local journalism landscape.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, you have to kind of remain optimistic about it. I think we can make it. We're going to make it happen. That's for sure.
We're going to make it happen, John.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe I shouldn't have used the timer because I've just suddenly had this kind of like symphony.
Who knew that it would have music? I didn't know that that
Oh
was
my
a
God.
service.
Okay, don't use the timer on a Zoom recording again because it's clearly going to be in there
Note
and
to self.
I'm going to. Hopefully, I don't get told off by one when he starts to put this together. Anyway, yeah, so that's our 15 minutes, I guess. So I think we've had a good chat, you know, and
That was
I really
great.
enjoy our conversations. I think whenever we talk about something, we really kind of sort of push to get it done, which is awesome.
Absolutely. I love working with you, John. You have been such a great champion, and I'm excited to see where this goes with our partnership.
Totally. Well, thank you, Ramona, for your patience because we've had to do this twice. But you know
That's
what? I
okay.
think it was better the second time around.
I do too. Thank you so much. It was a
Okay,
pleasure.
Ramona, thank you so much. And that's it. That's a wrap, you guys. We'll be back for another episode next week. We're actually going to find out. I know this is all jumbled up, but anyway, we're going to be talking to Tina Karani about a creative jam that we're doing in conjunction with Swinburne University in Melbourne. And that's happening soon. So that's the next episode where Tina's going to explain a bit more about what we're doing there. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Ramona, again. And thank you, Spotlight and the wider San Jose media community for working with us and being supportive of our journalism program. Bye for
Thanks,
now.
everyone.